Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. When John got a glimpse into heaven's throne room, he saw elders and creatures around God's throne holding golden vials that contained the prayers of saints. This suggests that every prayer that we pray goes right to Father God. Have you taken advantage of that privilege today? Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 5 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 5 through 8.
Then there are these golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Isn't that incredible? How many of you, I'm not going to ask you for how long, how many of you prayed this morning? Where did those prayers go? They went right into that golden vial. That's where they go. Every time we pray, we make a deposit in that golden vial. When we pray with our spouse, when we pray with our children, when we pray with our parents, when we pray with our friends, when we pray together, we're making a deposit in that golden vial that ascends up before the throne. How awesome is that? We're not talking to the air. We're not hoping and wishing that the man upstairs, if he's up there, might listen. We're talking to our God. We're talking to our Father. We're talking to our shepherd. We're talking to our wonderful counselor. We're talking to our great physician. We're talking to the one who says, "You call upon my name and I will show you great and marvelous things that you have no idea are coming." How wonderful that is to know that we have this gift of prayer. You know, in the Old Testament, when the priest went into the holy place every day, the tabernacle, he bore this little golden bowl, and it was attached to these golden chains. And inside of this bowl would be incense. And as he would walk past the altar where the sacrifices were offered, he would take a burning coal from the altar, place that burning coal into this little bowl of incense, and this smoke of incense would begin to rise. And then he would go into the holy place where they had the altar of incense, and he would wave that little golden bowl of incense before the altar. It was a sweet fragrance that would go into the presence of God. When you are praying, when you prayed this morning, the Father in heaven, oh, that is so sweet. But that's not what the devil tells you. You're praying, he goes, "What are you praying for? You think God's going to hear you prayer? You pray? When you and I are praying, as his redeemed children, he breathes in and he says, "That is the sweetest fragrance in all the earth." Believe it, saints, because that is the truth. When you call upon his name, whether it be 1 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, whether it be in your prayer closet, whether it be in the gym, wherever it is, when you call out to his name, it is sweet, sweet fragrance. It is incense. The devil says that my prayers incense the Lord. The Lord tells me, "Raymond, your prayers are like incense to me. Keep praying." Psalm 141 verse 2 says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." How we need to renew our minds with the Word of God. That when we're praying together, when you pray with one another today, it's a fragrance that ascends up to the Father that is sweet in His sight. When you're praying for situations, praying for needs, God is so blessed. He is so pleased. It's the language of dependency. It's a sweet fragrance to Him. In fact, we're going to read this again when we get to chapter 8 of the book of Revelation, where in verse 4, the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of these saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And so here we have worship, adoration, and prayer in heaven. And if you and I want a slice of heaven on earth, may we be people who pray, who worship, who adore the Lord here on earth. This really, really intrigues me. This golden vial full of prayers, because it reveals to you and I the impact that prayer has on the events on planet Earth. There's a connection between these prayers, the Lamb on the throne, and the events that are going to take place hereafter. The power of prayer. Let's talk for a couple of minutes this morning about prayer. The gift of prayer. When Jesus gave that triumphal shout, "It is finished," the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. That only not only signifies that sinners have access to a holy God, but once we have come to the Father through Christ, now our prayers go directly to God. Direct access to God. Think that through, okay? You've heard it before, but think that through. Just don't ignore that. Okay, you're supposed to say that. You're a preacher. No, listen. This is direct access. Direct access to the Father, to the throne room of the universe, to the place of all authority, all power. Can you imagine? No, we can't. We can't grasp this, but this is what Christ has given to us, access to the Father, access to His heart. That's where we go for wisdom. That's where we go for direction. That's where we go for encouragement. That's where we go for comfort. That's where we go when we are in need. We go to Him. Oh, now I'm feeling Pentecostal. John the Baptist's father before John the Baptist came on the scene. Zechariah is ministering in the temple, in the priest's office. Gabriel appears to him. An angel appears to him and says, "Your prayer has been heard. Elizabeth is going to have a child." He says, "Really?" By this point in time, Zechariah is pretty old. And so is Elizabeth. They love one another, but they have not had sexual intimacy for a long, long, long time. And there he is, ministering in the priest's office, and the angel says, "Elizabeth's going to have a baby." He says, "You must have the wrong guy, because Elizabeth and I prayed that prayer all many years ago." Wait a minute now. See, here's where we get all hung up. How many years ago? See, you and I measure time. Seconds, minutes, hours, weeks, months. So Zechariah is thinking, "Oh, that was a long time ago we prayed that." Certainly it hasn't happened, so you have forgotten. It's not going to happen. I can imagine. No, I'm embellishing the scripture here a little bit, not into it. The angel's probably thinking, "A long time ago. It was just a second ago." You see, we put our prayers into a time vault. And if God doesn't answer something in a week or a month or a decade or two decades or four decades, then we think, "Well, it's all over. It's done. It's not going to happen." Stop thinking like that. I am absolutely convinced that in that prayer vial that is before the throne, there are prayers that are being offered that are going to outlive us. I am asking God to cause me to pray for in a way that's going to outlive my physical life. I'm already praying for my grandchildren, for their salvation, for their spouses, for the calling of God upon them and upon their grandchildren, because I want to be a praying man. I want to be praying prayers that are going to outlive my life. And I realize that there are things that Lizzie and I may have prayed for years ago. I don't think this one's going to come to pass. "You're going to have a child." But there's things that we may have prayed for, you may have prayed for years ago. You wrote it off. Okay, he's never going to get saved. They're never going to come back. There's not going to be any change there. Oh, remember, we are praying to the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. In other words, if you could ask it, if you could think it, that's the least God will do. We need to be praying with confidence in the one that we're going to. Lord, I don't know what your will is on this. I don't know what your purpose is, but just going to the Lord confidently in prayer. And I know that there are things that have happened in my life, in your life, and in this church that I don't even recall that I've prayed for or we've prayed for. But there may be people in a little village in India praying for us. God hears that prayer and manifests that answer, this gift of prayer, this weapon of prayer. We had prayer Wednesday night. We're having a week of prayer. And before the service, you know, the Lord just gave me this picture of prayer being like this nuclear warhead against the powers of darkness. And it's like when we're praying, there can be these powerful things that God does. He uses them as a means to accomplish his will. You know what's amazing? That when I stop praying, coincidences stop happening. Hardy har har. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not faint. And you know what? When you and I stop praying, when we get weary, and that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants to wear us down. Don't be praying. God isn't hearing you. This hasn't happened in weeks or months. Just stop praying. Don't do that. Don't stop praying. Keep on praying. Ask, seek, knock, believe. Here's where our prayers go. They go right to the Father. That is so awesome. You don't have to go through a mediator. You don't have to go through another saint. We pray with one another, but we don't pray to one another. And we go right to the Father. There's a relationship there. We go to Him, bring those needs to Him, those cares to Him, those things that are on your heart right now. Keep praying. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep calling upon His name. You're His child. And if we as parents, being evil, know how to do good things for our children, how much more? I love when Jesus says, how much more? Don't you? How much more should your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Jesus said after He cleansed the temple, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Above all things, may God by His Spirit make this church family be a house of prayer. Above all things, may we be a church that knows how to pray. If we know anything, we know how to pray. I want to encourage you. There's a prayer room at the back of the church. Some of you said, you know, I can't sing. I can't teach. I can't, but what can I do? Let me give you a suggestion. Come for two services. Come for one. Go in the war room. I thought you said prayer room. Yeah, same thing. Go in the prayer room. Consecrate a service. Go in there. Pray that God would pour out His Spirit upon all that is being done here. And then come and worship Him. How we need to be a praying people. A people to pray. No wonder the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. These apostles had heard rabbis pray. They had heard scribes pray. They had heard Pharisees pray. And it was like the words dropped at the ground. But when Jesus prayed, things happened. And He says, as the Father sent me, so sent I you. And when you and I are praying in harmony with the will of God, wonderful things begin to happen. I want to tell you something again. And I've said it before, and I really mean it with all of my heart. This church building, we're here Monday through Friday. If you are in the area, you have a day off. You have vacation time. You don't need to call and ask for permission to come here and pray. You come and you walk through the front door and you find a place and you pray. You want to get a couple of people together and pray? You go, Pastor Ray, can I come and pray? No. Can you imagine that? This is a church building. We don't pray here. You come and you pray. If you're in the area, if you're having, you know, or if you have vacation with your family, we want to go and pray. We want to go have lunch. Come and have lunch down in the Agape Hall. Find a place to pray. Pray, 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 pray. We'll even leave and lock you in. Okay? Gabish? All right? You know, we have these scheduled weeks of prayer, but really, that's just to focus on that. We should never stop praying. We need to be praying always about all things. Every decision needs to be bathed in prayer. Seeking direction, we need to be bathing it in prayer because it's going right to the Father. Father, here are these prayers. Here are these requests. And some of you, there are prayers that you've prayed years ago. And I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord, that some of those prayers might be coming to pass that you thought that you forgot about. I'm convinced that God has a file up, okay, in his time file. Zechariah, your prayer is heard. What? What? We prayed that when we first got married, when we were young, and now we're old. Your prayer is heard. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's been said, and it is true, that we never stand taller than when we are on our knees. We need to be men and women of prayer. Lord, if we are going to major in anything, if we're going to grasp anything, my prayer is that it would be that we know how to pray and that we know how to worship him and that we know how to serve him in humility. And then verse 9, oh my, oh my. Time, 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 time. And they sung a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, or literally a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Adoration. Adoration. Now, I'm not even going to get into this. This is too much. I don't want to, because I need a whole Sunday just for this. But that word new, you see that word new in verse 9? That word new describes something that has never existed before. You know what? It came to me, this is so incredible. There have been times when saints, we have been in this sanctuary and we have been worshiping and I have felt like I was in heaven. And when I read that verse, the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, Raymond, that's how you felt, but wait till you get there. Wait till you get there. We cannot even imagine what it is going to be like, beloved, when we are taken before that glorious throne. It gives you spiritual goosebumps, doesn't it? A new song. A song of worship, a song of adoration, a song of praise as we behold the Lamb that was slain. Paul says, the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard. Now, I know that we've been given, the rest of that verse, the written revelation of what he's done, but the actual experience of it, wait till we get to glory. Oh, my. Wait till we get to glory. I got a feeling we're all going to be a little bit more Pentecostal than we are down here. I got a feeling there's going to be more people lifting their hands. Practice now. What a scene. What a remarkable scene this is, beloved. And we're going to be there together with the entire body of the redeemed worshiping the Lamb together, bringing glory to the Lamb together. Can you imagine those who right now are in Christ, who have gone, been taken to glory, they step into this scene. Can you imagine what it's like for them? Wow. I want to close with this because I don't want to get into it. I wouldn't be able to do justice to the texts. But I want to say something. Years ago, like you, I wasn't born saved. And years ago, there was this album that I had. Album. Okay, that dates it. You know, that predates 8-tracks. How many of you still have any of those? Oh, yeah, you're old, man. You're old. And I had this album that I used to listen to all the time. I get stoned and listen to this album all the time. It was like a mantra. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. John Lennon. Johnny Boy was wrong. John the Apostle was right. Jesus Christ was right. There is a heaven above us, and there is a hell below us. And the reality of it is that every person in this sanctuary, when they breathe their last breath on earth, is going to step into one of those two places. But today could be the day of salvation for some of you. You know, in our last political elections, we heard a lot about change. We're going to bring about change. How do you like it so far? Right? Well, things have changed. But, you know, the real change, a real change takes place. A real change takes place when you and I do serious business at the foot of the cross of Calvary. And I don't care who you are, how bad you've been, wherever you've been, I can assure you today that if you, with a broken and a contrite heart, would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I am so sorry for what I've done. And I ask you to forgive me. And I pray for the power, Lord, to live for you. There is the power of God to save your soul right now. There is complete forgiveness of sin for you right now. You see, the gospel, according to religion, is clean up your act. Do good, and then God will accept you. It's not going to happen. That's the gospel of religion. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that Christ came into the world for those who are ungodly, undeserving, unworthy. Just trust him this morning. He died on the cross for your sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He's prevailed. And he says, whosoever is thirsty, let him take the water of life freely. Now, you don't need to get out of your chairs. You don't need to come forward. You need to come to him. If today, this is that day that you have been touched by God's Spirit, his grace, his beauty, his love, and today is that day where you're brought to the end of yourself. That's a good place when God brings you to the end of yourself, because self is the problem. Some of you are dealing with some physical afflictions. The Bible says call for the elders of the church and let them pray the prayer of faith. I want to pray with you. And so this is a time now for us to respond to the Lord, to respond to his word, to respond to his truth, to put legs in our prayers. You just simply come.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is July 18th. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.